It's The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano.
This is The Other Side of Midnight. I'm Frank Morano. We have spent a lot of time talking about conspiracies on this show. We've spent a little bit of time talking about the occult. We've spent a ton of time talking about aliens. We've even spent a great deal of time talking about censorship, particularly in the age of the internet. Well, it turns out our next guest is something of an authority on all of those subjects. He's the publisher of a website that has just become sort of a viral sensation. It's called IlluminatiWatcher.com. He's also the best-selling author of The Dark Path and the host of Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture, a podcast that has a lot of people thinking and talking, and it was a podcast that I'd never even heard of before yesterday, and I am making short work of this podcast because I don't know if anything covered on here is true, but I know I can't stop listening. I am very pleased to welcome to the program Isaac Weishaupt. Isaac, it's great to talk to you.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it.
Isaac, I have heard the term Illuminati over the years many times. And, you know, you almost hear them mentioned sometimes like the Bilderberg Group, the Rothschilds, the Freemasons. And they turn out to be central to many different conspiracy theories. You're the Illuminati watcher. For the uninitiated in our audience, Isaac, what is or what are the Illuminati?
Yeah, it's a great way to start out. So if you're talking about the sort of factual textbook answer, that'll be the 1776 group founded by Adam Weishaupt, which, you know, to the astute listener, they probably say, hey, this guy's name is Isaac Weishaupt. Well, that's an alias. It's not my real name. It's a very poorly chosen alias for a conspiracy theory guy, because as you could imagine, everyone thinks, oh, I'm the disinformation agent. But it was just a poorly chosen name because I didn't expect when I started this whole sort of research journey in 2011, I had no expectations that I would get a following and a podcast and write these books and do all this crazy stuff. So it's been pretty strange. But when I say the Illuminati, I'm referring to a sort of a long line, a tradition of thought leaders going through, you know, Age of Enlightenment. You could talk Bilderberg, you could talk Bohemian Grove, but basically an idea of a secret cabal who, I believe, uses knowledge from dark and occult forces, and occult, of course, meaning hidden. But it's the idea that they understand there's a practice of sort of dark arts. You could call that ritual magic. You could call that, you know, different sort of, you know, it goes in all kinds of different belief systems like Kabbalah and Rosicrucianism. But the idea is a group of people who are trying to steer reality into a different direction through the use of, you know, practices that go down hundreds of years.
You mentioned your research journey into this started around 2011. What sparked your initial interest in this? How did you get started?
I actually started I grew up I was born in 79. So I grew up, you know, watching X-Files and things like that. So I was always interested in aliens, but I was actually in the military and I was serving overseas, and a buddy of mine put me on to Bill Cooper, who wrote a book called Behold a Pale Horse, a very famous conspiracy theory textbook from the 90s. And, you know, Bill Cooper was shot and killed by the FBI. I think it was the FBI, one of the ABCs, you know, and that's a whole conspiracy in and of itself. But, you know, I read his book and he talks about this sort of overall agenda for mankind of sort of creating this false utopia, a global new world order, possible ties into aliens and Satan and all this kind of different stuff. So he was the first one that sort of opened my eyes to that idea. Then a few years later, a buddy of mine gave me a VHS tape of David Icke called Freedom Road, which was before David Icke was famous. The video was him talking in front of a monitor. I mean, it was really low budget. Mm-hmm. And he did a great job of synthesizing all the information and adding some historical text to it. And so I've always been intrigued by it. And I just, it was just a fun thing for me. And then I watched Ancient Aliens, of course. And then I had a 2-year break before I started grad school. And I started the website, IlluminatiWatcher.com, because I was just having fun blogging about topics that interested me. And of course, that included conspiracy theory. So, you know, I would have fun just looking at music videos or movies and saying, oh, look at, you know, here's that symbol that David Icke talked about or whatever, and talk about, you know, elaborate on some of the theories that others have presented. And it kind of exploded from there. And I've written 9 books and, you know, done all this stuff. I started the podcast. I've been banned off of everything you can imagine.
Yeah, no, I find that fascinating. Now, not that you're a spokesperson for David Icke or the late Bill Cooper, but I have to ask you about this because anytime either of their names get mentioned, people bring this up. There's always been, with David Icke in particular, allegations about anti-Semitism. You know, he talks about the reptile creatures, and a lot of people try to make the claim that that has something to do with Jews, or at least is indirectly related to the Jewish people. Do you put any stock into that, any of the theories that David Icke puts out there are anti-Semitic in nature?
You know, when you look at the history of conspiracy theories, that's kind of the first and original conspiracy theory. And I read a book, it's called Suspicious Minds by Rob Brotherton. And he goes through the mindset of a conspiracy theorist. And he does a good job debunking the history of anti-Semitism. But you do find that sort of, you know, DNA in the blueprint of most conspiracy theorists. And there's some elements, and, you know, I don't think we have time to go through it today, but there's some elements of it that I get where they're coming from. To me, it's too much of a distraction. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately division is what the quote unquote Illuminati wants. And Bill Cooper, to go back to Behold a Pale Horse, I have the original print, which has the protocols of the Elders of Zion, which in his book is called the Protocols of the Wise Men. And that's an anti-Semitic document. It's been debunked, you know, and you know, ultra paranoid conspiracy theorists will say, well, yeah, that's what they want you to think, but whatever, right? And in it, at the beginning of it, at the preface, he says, you know, you could change all these terms that talk about the Jewish people and just know that they're talking about the Illuminati. So I question how anti-Semitic Bill Cooper may or may not have been. But I do think that he's ultimately pointing to the ideas that there's an Illuminati group, because that's what he says in the preface of that. You know, you can replace the word Jewish with Illuminati. And I think he's just trying to lay down the foundations for the idea that there is a sort of group that's in the shadows, and they're doing this insidious march of mankind down a path towards a global one world order. And you can't deny that that is actually happening. So, you know, whatever name you want to assign to the group, to me, I don't think it matters necessarily, but it is more important to being aware that this seems to be happening.
Tell me how your Greek Orthodox faith has played a role in your search and research into these subjects.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah. So I converted to Greek Orthodox when I met my wife. She's Greek. And it was in 2003. I went through the adult sort of catechism and all that. And, you know, I was very pleased to see that there was a, I don't want to say that there's a conspiracy theory angle in the Orthodox faith, but if you read a lot of the texts of some of the thought leaders in the community, you'll see that, like Metropolitan Isaiah, I was just reading the other day, he has a whole article he wrote 20 years ago about the end times and about how there is this push that in the end times you'll see a one world government and different ideas such as that. Ultimately, there's the sort of king of conspiracy in the Greek Orthodox community is Father Seraphim Rose. He wrote a book I think it was in the 60s. He wrote this book in the 70s. I can't think of the name of it. Something about like the orthodoxy and the religion of the future, I think mm-hmm. is what it's called. And he lays out exactly, precisely what has been happening the last 50 years. He's talking about how entertainment and media is introducing ideas of occultism to create a sort of lukewarm environment towards that. And an example I'll give you, he talks about science fiction and Star Trek and Star Wars and how, you know, these things seem like good fun. And look, they are, right? I'm probably the worst Christian you'll talk to tonight. And I enjoy all these awful things that I'm not supposed to, but his idea that I believe in wholeheartedly, because I'm just as guilty as the next, is you watch this stuff and it softens your attitude towards it. And that's sort of being rolled out is his argument, and it's part of a plan, a Luciferian plan for a new world order.
Well, I want to ask you about that, because I have studied kind of the role that science fiction has played and been very interested in what that might be doing to the minds of the population. By the way, if people are just tuning in, we're talking with Isaac Weishaupt. He is the publisher of the website IlluminatiWatcher.com, best-selling author of The Dark Path and host of the Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture podcast. By the way, tell me about that podcast, Isaac. I know it's very popular. I've enjoyed the few episodes that I've gotten to listen to in the last couple of days. Is there a lot of occult symbolism in pop culture? And can you give people a couple of examples?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And that's what, and for me, that's my sort of niche, because I don't like getting into geopolitics and these things, because A, I'm not an expert in those things, but I am an expert in consuming, you know, senseless pop culture at times. But if you understand some of the occult ideas and concepts of ritual magic and symbols and how they work on the subconscious level, you can find a lot of these ideas buried in many popular shows. And that's, you know, I started the podcast out of necessity, because I was getting, you know, I was getting kind of shadow banned and kicked off of YouTube. And 2014 is when I started the podcast. And I've always liked writing. I'm a writer. And I didn't want to do podcasting. I didn't want to have a face out there or nothing, but that's kind of where all the limitations led me. And it's a huge podcast now. You know,
so give us a couple of examples of occult symbolism in pop culture that people might have noticed, or they might notice if they go back and consume those things again.
So if you watch Star Wars, right, because we talked about that earlier, they talk about this, the Force, right? And what they're talking about is an impersonal sort of God, sort of a God force. There's not a Holy Trinity. There's not a Christ figure. And that's how it is in most science fiction, right? And what they're referring to is the perennial philosophy. And this is, again, another sort of occult doctrine idea that there's a sort of unified field. It's more of a scientific version of God, which is why it shows up in science fiction. Another concept you're going to see oftentimes is Gnosticism, which is, you know, if you go to understand what Gnosticism is, it's basically an inversion. And they believe that the God of our world is a false God. He's a God who has us tricked into this sort of simulation world to worship him and keep us away from the real God, which is out there in what they call the Pleroma. And you see ideas of that simulation world in movies like The Truman Show. It shows you the prison planet, and you'll recall Ed Harris's character, who basically plays God. His name is Christoph, you know, spelled like Christ. And Truman is the true man. And he goes through what they call the alchemical process. He's going through a self-awakening process. And the woman who guides him is the Sophia. And that's, again, another concept you'll find in Gnosticism, is the goddess of wisdom, Sophia. And you'll see stuff like that in Westworld. And, I mean, it's kind of all over the place. And then you've got more of the blatant sort of satanic symbolism, like you would see in Sabrina the Teenage Witch show that was on Netflix.
So why do they do it? Why do the producers of these shows hide these symbols in popular culture programming?
Well, they're trying to warm up generations to these ideas and these concepts. Harry Potter is another good one we could talk about, because if you read through the history of that book, J.K. Rowling, the author, she talks about the symbol used on it. It's called the Deathly Hallows symbol. And she flat out says it came to her in a dream, and it's based upon a Freemasonic symbol. And Harry has this lightning bolt scar on his head. That's like the lightning bolt of Lucifer. And the goal in the whole story is for Harry Potter to reach apotheosis, to be reborn and to connect to what they call the divine. He unlocks the powers of the occult. You know, Nietzsche called this the Übermensch, the Superman. Helena Blavatsky and Adolf Hitler and Aleister Crowley, they all talked about these sort of ideas, right? But it's, and it works, right? You had a whole generation of people who, you know, younger than me, my generation kind of missed that Harry Potter thing. We were too old for that. But the younger generation is very obsessed with Harry Potter. Look, it's fine, right? Like, it's a fun story. I get it. But you find that, you know, and I have friends that love this show, and they, you know, sort of embrace some of these ideas of astrology and and tarot and law of attraction and new age thinking. And you know, it's no judgment. I get it. Like, some of that stuff is practical. Some of the new age concepts I practice myself. I've done meditation and things like that. So, but if you want to look at it from that holy, you know, Christian monk-like perspective, like, these things are specifically condemned in places like the Bible and in the Christian faith.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment, or newbridgehealth.org.
Isaac, I know that you were, and you alluded to this a few minutes ago, largely canceled from 2016 to 2021. Why were you canceled? Why were you kind of internet blacklisted? And why are you back now?
Well, you know, it's funny because I've always tried to be the guy who's not what they call black pill. I try to have a good time with these topics. I try to keep it light. I try not to be judgmental. And like I always say, it's like, man, I don't care if you worship Satan. Like, we can have a conversation. You're not like my enemy, right? And I try to be inclusive to people. And there's something that, for whatever reason, they want to shut down that kind of messaging. And to me, I believe it's because I think divisiveness is what they want. They want us fighting and arguing. They want extremist viewpoints. And I just don't do that. And that's the only thing I can think of, because I've been shut down on YouTube and Vimeo and a whole bunch of these platforms that kicked me off. And it's for the reasons you can never get an answer. I had 76,000 subs on YouTube, and I had access to this like studio in LA that they were going to let me film in. And all of a sudden I make a video talking about the symbolism of witchcraft that you would find in Taylor Swift's music video. And I didn't say one negative word about Taylor Swift. I just said, here's the symbolism you see in the video. Here's where it connects into witchcraft symbolism, and have a good day. And it didn't matter. Like, they were able to shut me down because they use these celebrities to be our modern day gods and goddesses. It's like the pagan Roman pantheon of gods and goddesses. And they need people to not understand what's going on so they can progress this sort of one world order idea down the tracks.
We've spent a lot of time on this program talking about aliens and what's happening with UFOs. You've indicated that you think the whole UFO agenda has its roots in the occult. Tell us how.
So if you get into some of the New Age thought of quantum physics, which I have, I've read several books like this. I can't think of his name, Joe Dispenza. He wrote some books on this kind of idea. I took physics in college, and quantum always intrigued me. But there's this idea called the unified field, and it's basically this concept that marries Newtonian physics with quantum physics, and you can find a sort of answer to reality and what it is. And in a way, it supports the ideas of magical thinking, meaning there's an observer effect, right? And the best example I can give is Schrodinger's cat, right? If there's a cat in a box and it's full of radiation, you know the cat's dead, but the cat is in a state of what they call superposition. He's alive and dead at the same time. And it's only when you open the box and look at it and confirm it, you do what they call collapsing the wave, and he's dead, right? There's an observer effect involved in the phenomenon, I believe that's what they're trying to warm us up to understand. I think quantum physics and the concepts of the occult have been playing with this idea for decades. I think this goes back to Jack Parsons, who was doing what they call the Babylon working rituals, where he and L. Ron Hubbard, the guy who created Scientology, they were doing what they called the Amalantra working. They called it the Babylon working, but it was a play on the Amalantra working from Aleister Crowley in 1946. And the next year we had Roswell. Well, the idea, and I'm summing up, you know, I wrote two books on the subject, so I'm summing up hundreds of pages here. The U.S. government sent a group called Collins Elite, allegedly, out to investigate this sort of thing. And, you know, this is a different time in America. It was a much more sort of religious nation. And over the decades, this religious voice of the Collins Elite kind of directed the Pentagon to say, hey, you don't want to mess with this stuff. This is occult practices. They're sort of channeling demons and talking to Satan and all this stuff. And in the last 20 years, things have changed. And you'll hear people like Lou Elizondo, who's one of the main focal points for this new, what do you call it, disclosure. Mm-hmm. He said this in interviews. He's talked about how, yeah, there used to be these people that worked at the Pentagon, and they think that we're talking to the devil, and they're kind of, you know, finally letting us practice this stuff to, you know, figure out how to talk to these entities. And I can't, this is all connected to, and look, I didn't come up with none of this stuff. I'm standing on the shoulders of giants, like,
sure.
Like John Keel talked about this in The Eighth Hour. He talked about the ultra-terrestrial theory, about how fairies and ghosts and Bigfoot and aliens, this is all basically something happening on a different dimensional level. And there's certain practices one can do to open up these gateways, to see these things, to make contact with these entities. And I think that's what is going on. And I think they have to find a way to convey this to the public. And I think it's just going to take time.
When we talk about aliens, for instance, do you believe that there have been extraterrestrial visitors to this planet? Or do you think this is some sort of, an attempt to condition the public's mind along one end or another?
Man, that's the million-dollar question. I do believe, and of course, what the heck do I know? I do believe that there's been extra dimensional entities. Mm-hmm. I used to do, like I said, I'm a terrible Christian. I hope no one looks to me for that ever. But I used to do ghost hunting back in the day until I got too many weird things happening to me. Back in 98, I was doing ghost hunting. And I experienced a lot of crazy things that I thought, man, there's something going on in this unseen realm. And I can't help but think that that's exactly what this sort of, you know, alien UFO sort of thing is. And don't ask me how it works. I don't know, because you've got the sort of nuts and bolts ideas, like Bob Lazar, right? He talks about how he was reverse engineering a gravity engine and stuff. And he seems like very believable. Like, I listen to him and I think, man, this guy's telling the truth. So I don't know how that marries into the idea of these things coming in from other dimensions. I have no idea. And I don't think that anybody does. I think that's why they've kept it quiet for so long, is because that looks weak to, and I don't think so, but I think they think, look, this looks weak. They can't come out and tell us, hey, there's these things going on, but we don't really know how it happens or what to do about it. I think they would think that it looks weak and it would cause chaos.
You mentioned the Truman Show, and I know some of your podcasts have explored the Matrix theory and the idea. You used the term prison planet a few minutes ago. I have always wondered about the possibility that maybe this world that we're living in now is some sort of a computer simulation. Maybe it's not actually real. What's your best guess about about this world that we're living in? Do you think this is base reality, or is this something else? And what do you think the something else is?
I do think, so my perspective, which changes on a regular basis, right now I'm reading Robert Anton Wilson's Cosmic Trigger for the first time, and he talks about how the idea of a singular reality is impossible, and it's not accurate at all. We all have different realities we live in. And but to answer the question, at this moment, I think that our bodies are, because I've had some experiences with this, that, and the other, and so this is just my personal feeling. It feels like our spirits are put into these bodies, and these bodies are sort of filters, right? And I'm speaking from an electronic engineering perspective. Our bodies are sort of filters, and we're almost like antennas. So we're put on this, in this realm by God, to experience this creation. And then when our experience is over, our spirit will then go into, I don't know, some other realm, some other dimension. But I think it's meant to be sort of limited and confined to this realm, to sort of, play this game, almost, is the best way of describing what I think is going on. And you could argue up, down, left, right as to what this means and why. But I do think that, you know, when we die, our spirits move on from the material realm into some other realm. And this is a limited experience we're supposed to have right now.
Isaac, we're going to have to leave it there. I very much appreciate the time. I hope you'll come back. There's a lot of other content that I'd love to explore with you. If people are interested in learning more about your work, by the way, what's the best place to start? Is it the website? Is it the podcast? Is it one of your books? Where's a good place to begin their Isaac journey?
That's first of all, thanks for having me on. I'd love to come back sometime.
Sure.
So if they're new to conspiracy, they can go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, and I've got a free email newsletter that I run and manage. They can sign up, and when they sign up, their first email will give them access to download my first book for free.
Wow.
It's very much a beginner's guide to conspiracy, but if they're more advanced, they could pick up The Dark Path. I wrote it. It's on Amazon, Audible. I did the narration on Audible. And then I do weekly podcast on, it's called Occult Symbolism in Pop Culture, where we go through just different examples as things pop up and movies I watch and things like that. And it's a good time. So, yeah, there's lots of options out there.
IlluminatiWatcher.com. My guest has been Isaac Weishaupt. Isaac, thanks again.
Cheers. Thank you.
If you want to comment on any portion of our conversation, you're welcome to give me a call, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight. Straight ahead.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.